When I was a little boy, I went on a trip to the beach. I remember seeing this very tall, what kind of looked like a smokestack or something, except that it wasn't a smokestack. And it was at night. And I kind of looked out, and there was these disco lights kind of spinning around, around, around. Except there was no music. And I looked at this, and I was a curious kid. I asked, "What is that?" My dad said, "That is a lighthouse. It's for the boats, so that they can kind of see the light." And I looked out at the pitch black ocean. You can't even really see anything. It was kind of a really dark night, probably a new moon. And I looked out there and I thought to myself, it's crazy. And I said, "I don't see any boats." My dad said, "That's what the light is for. When they look in, they see the light flash, and they say, what they see. When I was in the kitchen, all the adults were talking, and I kind of was an only child at that time. This is way before my sister was born. So I would be self-amused, and I grabbed a flashlight, and I turned it on and off and on, and I flashed it outside, and it was foggy. It got late, and it was dark and cold. And so I flashed the light out, and I could see the light cut through the fog. I wonder if, how far would it go out? I looked at the light moving through the fog, and I was amazed. Jesus told his church, "You are the light of the world. You shine in the darkness. You're a city on a hill. Don't keep yourself hidden." He told his church, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father who is in heaven." Well, we may not be a church on a hill, but we are a church on one of the busiest corners in all of Columbus. I've said that many times. I overuse that. We're one of the most populated regions in Ohio. We're putting up more apartments and houses. And I know you're doing the thumbs down. It's growing well past your childhood, friend. I'm telling you. I drive home and I see these apartments, and they keep coming up, and there's so many of them. And the traffic is getting bigger. Bigger. It's getting busy around here. I try to walk to the gas station in the middle of the day. We ran out of Diet Coke in the kitchen. Tom Lambo usually has a stash of Diet Coke, so he's hearing this now. He's the one that's taking my Diet Coke. Yes, we ran out. He's in Florida, so it's running out. And so I walked across the street, or tried to walk across the street. I kind of was going to jaywalk. I mean, no harm no foul. And the cars just kept coming. And I got impatient. So I walked to the corner and waited for the light to move across. And I thought to myself, as I looked at our sign, as I'm waiting to cross the street, there's a lot of people who go right by our church every day. It's amazing. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill. Don't be hidden. The people in your life get to know you. They get to know what it looks like to follow God. They get to know Jesus. People outside the church see him through you. They're introduced to Jesus through you. I don't know if we realize that. Many people in Jesus' time that were a part of the established church were concerned that Jesus spent too much time with people outside the church. They were very concerned about that. They called him on it all the time. It was a problem for them. Jesus would go out into these remote places and seek and save the lost. Jesus had a reputation of being friends with sinners. Right? You can use the woman of the well, and there's many other examples and scenes where Jesus was in that situation. They were worried that Jesus would compromise his faith, that he would relax the law of God in order to include other people, to accommodate them. They thought that Jesus would cut corners with the law in order to include people in his fellowship. Baking grain, eating with sinners, and tax collectors, all those passages that talk about that. They said, Jesus, don't think. Well, actually, I said that wrong. Jesus said, don't think, and they were thinking this. Don't think that I have come to abolish the law. He says, I have come to fulfill it. And he did. Jesus says, not one dot, not one iota will pass from the law. The church in Jesus' day thought a relationship with God was based on how good you were, how well you were behaving. You had to earn it. You grew closer to God through good works and good behavior. But that's not Christianity. That's not the gospel, really. Good behavior is good. It's great. I'm not here to tell you to cut corners either. But we have to be clear on something very important. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All of us had something, whether it's hidden or it's in view, all of us have some sin issue. I have yet to meet someone who doesn't struggle with some kind of vice. We all have broken relationships with God and with our neighbor, but not Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled the law 100%. That's what the gospel is communicating to you this morning. Jesus is not in need of redemption himself. He is not in debt to sin in any way. Jesus has the ability to extend God's grace and unconditional love in a way like no other human being can. We've been talking about this kind of stuff all week. We've had a couple of leadership meetings with the board, and we had a meeting yesterday. Made me think of this, so I kind of threw it in. It's a statement that every St. Jameser should be able to make, and memorize, and repeat. And it's this: Jesus includes all people in his fellowship. Seems like a simple statement. You would be surprised how many Christians forget that. Jesus includes all people in his fellowship. It's the thing that got him killed. Some will tell you, oh, no, no. He got killed because he claimed to be God. And I would say, keep going, finish that. He claimed to be God. He forgave sin. He included sinners into his fellowship. And the religious establishment reject him for that, rejected him for that, and killed him. At St. James Lutheran Church, we include all people into the fellowship, teaching them all that Jesus has commanded. That's Matthew 28. We recognize and acknowledge God's law. We confess our sin every Sunday, which is the great fellowship we have with God and our neighbor. We acknowledge that. And we receive God's means of grace by the real presence of Jesus Christ. And we encourage others to receive the gift of God's grace and unconditional love. This is our mission. If we can't, if we won't do this, we cease to function as a church in mission for the gospel. We will have lost our saltiness. That's what that means in the passage. But if we stand with courage and admit our pride and rebellion against God and neighbor, what do we see at the beginning of service? We just said it. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to water down the law to be inclusive. The law is the law. We are all in a struggle against a fallen world together. We all need God's grace. We all need repair from our sin. We are all a part of a common fellowship. We are all sinners in need of redemption. So let us be bold. Let us be assured. Let us go forth with great confidence and lead with the gospel message we have received from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us extend the fellowship of Jesus Christ with an outreaching hand to those that God brings into our lives on a daily basis. For you, St. James Lutheran Church, yes, you, are the light of the world. You are the light in the most populated city and the fastest growing region and the seventh largest state in America. There are so many people to meet this year in 2026. Don't keep your light hidden. Don't lose your saltiness. We need gift in you that saves. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, give your blessing to our homes, to husbands and wives, to the children in their care, and to the extended family. Guide us to serve each other in love. Make our homes places of blessing and peace where your word is spoken, forgiveness is shown, and love is demonstrated in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, bless Michael, Amanda, and Blythe Tomlinson as they celebrate Blythe's birthday. Merciful Lord, give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, comfort to the grieving, and peace to the dying, especially Alice Pavey, Mary Beth Stahlberg, Eileen Blythe, Paul Blamble, Mark Fleischman, and Lori Dobos. According to your will, deliver them from their afflictions and sustain them in their struggles. Give them patience in their adversities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in Christ, your righteousness goes before us, and your glory is our rear guard. Answer our pleas for mercy this day in the gift of Christ's body and blood, and prepare all those who commune to receive him worthily and joyfully. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, endow us with the mind of Christ by the work of your Spirit, that we do not dismiss your gifts as folly, but judge and discern all things according to your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things we pray, O Lord, in confidence of your mercy. Supply us with all things needed and beneficial to us and to our faith, and keep from us all things harmful, that we may rest our fears in you and be granted a clear conscience and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit,